Hi, it's John.
It's Richard.
You know this, and you know it's Bronze and Modern Gods. You know it's the podcast devoted to both the Bronze and Modern Age of comics.
Limit ourselves like that.
Remember when that was the description of the podcast? I do. Look, guys, it's about comic books. You know it by now. You know what you're in for. You know you've got the underrated books of the week. You know you've got the old fart rule this week where we go back to 1984. You know you've got viewer mail. If you're new and you don't know all this stuff, welcome. Strap yourself in. It's a fun time. And if you like what you see or hear, make sure you hit like, hit subscribe, and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Richard, it's time for the hot book of the week. I'm going to say it. Before. I'm not going to give you a chance to say it, because it's World of Wood, number one, from Eclipse Comics. No, this is not referring to what happens in your pants, Richard, when you see this cover. But rather, artist Wally Wood, take it away.
this is a miniseries from the 80s featuring Wally Wood reprints. But obviously, the focus of this cover is that gorgeous Dave Stevens damsel in distress on the lower third. This book is yet again another Dave Stevens spotlight.
Do you know what hentai is?
I do.
Okay. higher grade raws of this book are selling for up to $90 on eBay. This is one of the more obscure Dave Stevens covers. This month alone, right here in April, you know, we're only 15 days into it. By the way, happy tax day.
Yes.
For all of you who celebrate.
Which I celebrate the day after tax day.
You just say everyone should celebrate income tax day or you're going to get fined. This month we had two CGC 9.8 sales for both of them were over $1,200. The first one was $1,279. And then we had another one for $1,257. Richard, only 19 CGC 9.8s on the census. You think this is going to change soon?
I'm sure people are dragging out all their Dave Stevens raws and looking at them very carefully to see if they think they're going to be 9.8s or better.
Do you think so? I this is a tough, tough book in that high of grade because a reprint title from a independent in the 80s that nobody was specking on. And yeah. This was dollar bin fodder for, again, decades. We say that a lot on the show, and that's what makes it valuable. Do you have one?
I don't know. I have a bunch of Dave Stevens. I recognize this cover, but I don't know if I recognize it because it's in my stock of Dave Stevens or if it's on the hunt list. So definitely aware of it.
Yeah. This is where you go to flea markets, you guys. This is where you go to garage sales. They're going to be out there. There may not be 9.8s, but if you want a copy, you find yourself a nice 7.5 or an 8.0 or something like that. You need it. It's out there. This is one of those things that people just don't dig in the dollar bins or go back in and look for unless they are a hardcore dealer or collector. Uh-huh. Speaking of hardcore, some of you are very hardcore fans. I'm going to talk about a couple of you coming up here in viewer mail. But for those of you who can't get enough of us and... Why should you? You can become a member right here on YouTube for the cost of $2.99 a month. That is less than a regular Marvel comic.
Or less than a Starbucks.
Oh, I'm trying to move away from that, Richard.
Too much brand promotion?
Well, you know, they're not paying me. Exclusive live member-only streams, extra show-and-tell episodes on Wednesday, shout-outs in future videos, new people this week. Hi, new people. See your name? There it goes. Meow. This also helps Richard and I pay for things like we had to pay for StreamYard, the subscription for another year, full transparency, $468 for us to give you this high-quality video that works 80% of the time. If you want to help support the show, just hit that join button right here on YouTube, right next to the subscribe button. If you are not on YouTube, get over there and join if you would like to. If you don't want to join, that's fine. We love you being here anyway. So you can hear things like Richard talking about Cleveland, Ohio Fan Expo this weekend. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was pretty anticlimactic. You know, it takes place at the convention center downtown Cleveland. If you haven't been there, it's a beautiful facility. There's nothing, no bad strikes for the facility. But you know, you walk in, you get your badge, you go, and they want to charge you $10 for a lanyard and a bag of tchotchke. You know,
nothing. Yeah, you don't get the free bag and lanyard.
No, you do not. You do not. And a majority of the people just passed it by. So I thought it was a horrible upsell after paying the $60 for the ticket for Saturday only, and then another $10 for parking. Some people were paying $15, $20 of parking.
One day was $60?
$60, yeah. So, I bit the bullet because I was curious, and I walked in, and I met our friend Evan there with his family, and we wandered around a bit. There are only three different comic book dealers there who actually had old stock. I mean, there are a couple dealers who had graphic novels and current books. But the only people who had long boxes, there was only three of them. Our friend Eric from Comics Are Go was one of those three. Hi, Eric. And you know, it was a disappointing showing because I wanted to, you know, I was there obviously for the comics. I wasn't there for the pop culture. That was the focus. One of my concerns was, you know, with the malaise in the comic market right now, that the show would be underpopulated. You know, there'd be no, it was packed. It was full of people. Those people weren't there for comics. They were there for anime stuff. They were there for cosplaying. There were a lot of Lord of the Rings, the Hobbits were there. So people were there for signatures from Elijah Wood and the other Hobbits. Sam Raimi was there. Kevin Maguire was there. Yeah. And Greg Land
was there. Was it literally a walking Xerox machine?
I know you made that joke when I told you. But it was disappointing. For $60, I wanted some more content focused on me. But maybe I'm.
What does this mean? Is it one show?
Yeah, it's hard to get to prove a hypothesis with one data point. So, yeah. I don't want to say anything. Last year it was twice as many people or twice as many comic book vendors there. Mm-hmm. Just talking to Eric, he said that the year before there was even more. So this trend in reducing the number of comic vendors, I don't know if it's something that's cyclical. You know, we'll see it come back, or is comics just being pushed out of Fan Expo, and Fan Expo being just a pop culture show with very little comic presence.
Was any money making money? Any of the dealers you talked to, Eric or anybody, were they?
He said, you would expect that because there were less dealers there, that they would get more traffic. Mm-hmm. And he expressed the fact that people were a little upset because they didn't have anything to comparison shop with. So they saw his price, they saw the price of the guy behind him, and they weren't able to see any more and get any more information to judge. And I guess some people were, a little grousing about that because there wasn't that selection to be able to play off. So
only there was a magic device that was connected to some sort of neural network around the world that allowed you to, I'm going to coin a phrase here, go online and compare the price with sold auctions.
John, you're way too connected. You know, the average person uses their phone to tell the time and to get calls from the grandma. They're
me too.
They're not aware of all the different sites out there. So
that's annoying.
So some people just they rather have a visceral connection with the comic book seller and negotiate and haggle and that's fine. I like to do that sometimes too, especially if the person I'm haggling with is getting into the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not what I had hoped for. And I actually left within an hour.
Wow.
Because there just wasn't anything for, I have no interest you know, Dragon Ball Z characters or whatever other the anime. My daughter would have loved it, but me, I just wasn't my focus. So no. Rather, I was grumpy because I spent $60 for us. And that's a dollar a minute for sure. Me to sit in there.
Did you buy anything?
No, I did not. I didn't buy anything. I didn't see, I was scanning the walls and the pricing. I didn't really look at Eric's pricing very closely because I was busy talking to him. But I looked at the other dealers that were there and the prices were a little high for, you know, 2024. 2024 is a different reality than 2022.
Yeah, but Fan Expo, they're charging $60 a ticket. It's the convention center. They have a markup to pay for that booth space. You know, it's a catch 22 if you're a dealer, you know. I kind of feel for them.
And that may be why, you know, a better place for them is in a comic specific.
The Westlake show.
Yeah. Yeah, the way. Yeah, the Westlake show or you know, Neo Comic Con, which is coming later this year, yeah, which is comic focused. I mean, those shows, there's less of a price of entry. And you got a better target market, you know, and the audience that's coming in there is coming there for comics and knows how to buy comics. And I think that's maybe why they didn't frequent this particular show, because they knew they weren't going to get that kind of audience.
Well, I kind of had, I wouldn't say a similar experience, but my recent conventions experience at WonderCon, I didn't buy a lot. I bought a few things. I didn't stay all day. I didn't go back Saturday and Sunday, didn't bother. But one thing I do want to circle back around about WonderCon is I did some drop-offs. I did my CBCS drop-off and I did my CGC drop-off. I want to talk about CGC. I dropped off at the CGC booth at WonderCon on Friday, March 29th. So we're looking at 2 weeks and a couple of days here. They were received at CGC on Wednesday, April 3rd. Which is kind of crazy. I mean,
right.
4 days, 5 days. They were the magazine submission. I did a magazine submission, vintage submission, and a modern submission. I gave it away already. You would think the modern would be the first one, right?
Right.
The magazine delivered to my house Friday, April 3rd. Wow. Done. Wow. At magazine submission took 15 days.
I remember when magazine subscriptions were literally in the 200s in number of days to turn around.
That's why I only dropped one off, because I thought, I don't care about this. I'm going to sell it. I'm not going to drop my Savage Sword of Conan number one that I love, my Love and Rockets 24 that I wanted slabbed. I thought, I don't want to be without it for a year. If I had known, I would have dropped all of them off.
Right.
2 week turnaround on magazines. Here it is. I want to show you guys, had a live sale if you guys joined us on Saturday. Thanks for that, by the way. This sold immediately. Multiple people wanted it. I should have a little higher, but hey, it sold. Fugitoid, number one.
Yeah.
6 white pager. It's a 9.6. I'm not complaining about the grade. This bottom corner just has a little bump. You can see it there. That's why it's a 9.6, which is fine. But I want to talk about the slab. The slab is new-ish.
Oh, okay.
It's like a tank. This magazine slab is like a Sherman tank. I don't think it's coming across how thick this thing is now.
It is, yeah.
And it is sealed. See how it's sonically welded on the side there?
Mm-hmm.
See that little section right here?
Right.
That's new. And the posts are really kind of covered up with you know, you can't really pop them the way you used to. This side is not sonically welded like the other side. So they did one side, but not the other.
Really? I didn't know. I know they sonic weld regular comics. I didn't know they didn't sonic weld magazines.
This used to be open, kind of open. And, you know, I don't have one with me to compare, but this thing is like bosh, bosh. I mean, I can't. Crack this against my desk and nothing will happen. So kind of impressed by that. I think, you know, that's something if I was CGC, I would actually make a little noise about the magazine slab. You know, of course, now what have they done? They have played into the OCD and the completist tickle a part of my brain. Now I want to send my Love and Rockets one back so I can get it in this age. You know, no, not happening. Sorry, guys. I'm not falling for it.
No, because as soon as you do that, they'll release a, you know, a Jaime Hernandez label or something like that.
What a great idea. I wish they would do that.
It would be amazing.
They have four submissions. So, meanwhile, so that 2 week turnaround for that. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, still waiting on my vintage and modern submissions. Uh-huh. They're both in grading already, which is okay. Richard had me submit a reholder for your, what was it? Phoenix?
X-121.
Yeah. What do you see?
It says waiting for grading.
Waiting for grading?
Yeah.
They're going to regrade it for a reholder?
That's what it was. It's a 9.4. If they want to make it a 9.6, I won't complain.
I guess they learned their lesson from Swippity Swappity Gate. They're actually regrading reholders now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they had done that, they would have caught Swippity Swappity earlier. Mm-hmm. So there is your, we're not going to talk about CGC for a while update.
We say that every week.
I had something to offer.
Yeah, it was relevant. It was relevant.
All right. Speaking of things to offer, how about some show and tell? Richard, say it backwards like Zatanna.
Tell and show?
Ah, close enough. Let Dana was.
Yeah, you're better than that than I am.
I'm trying. Let's go back to the Atlas Age. What do you say?
Oh, boy. Here
is a very... what issue is this? I think this is issue 3. War Action number 3. Little waterlogged, you know, along the side there. Mm-hmm. A lot of water damage, but boy, a little bit of a brutal cover there.
Yeah.
Stabby, stabby.
Looks like he's almost stabbing his own knee.
Yeah, and, you know, he's showing off. Look at his abs.
Yeah, that's yeah.
When you're fighting Koreans, nothing scares them more than a six pack. Yeah, wow. I used to have this in a lot higher grade, and I sold it years ago. And so our buddy Forrest, I think, found this for me at some local shop in Wichita or Salt Lake City or where he goes to the most remote places for work. And some good stuff at good prices. So thank you, Forrest, for that. So little war action for you there. What do you have?
I've got Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider number 4. She's the Conan edition. She's not even anywhere on the cover.
You say she's looking hot.
Yeah, this is the John Hughes version for Spider-Gwen.
That's my Spider-Gwen. Is that the lizard jumping down?
Yeah, this, you know what?
Thank you, Conan Estate, for taking this license away from Marvel and giving it to Titan. We appreciate it. Conan the Barbarian fans, thank you for sparing us Savage Avengers with Conan.
Yeah.
Conan fighting the lizard. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. No, this came from, he had cover cameos of Conan across a number of titles. This was the Spider-Gwen one. I bought it because I thought it was hilarious. What in the world does Conan have to do with a teenager who's more interested in her telephone or her mobile phone than anything else? So yeah, I mean, I have not even read this story, so I doubt he's in it. I think it's just the cover cameos. It was cool. It's the only Spider-Gwen I have where she, you know, there's a six pack involved. So.
No Miles?
I don't know. I haven't, like I said, I haven't read this one.
Oh no, I mean, there's Spider Gwen where she's with Miles.
Oh, well, Miles, does Miles have a six pack?
He
Miles
better
slender. Than that.
When is Conan gonna go into public domain?
I thought it already was in public domain.
It can't. Well, if it was in public domain, we would have 9,000 Dynamite Comics Conan books. That's
true. If not, then it's got to be close to it.
Oh man. My next two books, I got a surprise package in the mail from one of you guys, all the way from the UK, from Second Best Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Sent me a couple of books. I think one of them's for you and one of them's for me. He sent them to me. One's definitely for me, and I think honestly the other one is for you. First of all, not only did he send us these books, which, guys, you do not have to send us books, okay? We appreciate it, we love you for it, but please don't feel that. He got me a really cool Forbidden Planet shirt.
Oh, that is awesome.
And you know, the old Forbidden Planet,
yeah,
ad that used to be in the comics. People like us shop at Forbidden Planet. I believe it's a Brian Bolland. By the way, at UK sizing, I don't know. I saw it in the package. It was XL. This is an extra large.
Well, you know, they're extra slim there in the UK.
I'm thinking it's like an extra large children's, maybe, because this thing makes me look like I'm either I got really fat during COVID or I'm super jacked now. Who knows? I like to think it's the latter, but I'm fishing for compliments. This is the one I believe is for me.
Keep fishing.
It is one of my favorite Weezer songs. Captain Britain 23.
Oh.
Look who's on the cover. It's the Prime Minister in Marvel UK continuity, Captain Britain and Captain America and the Red Skull.
Nice.
So it has Herb Trimpe art on the inside, Gary Friedrich. This is after Chris Claremont left the book. And it's, you know, it's a cool Captain Britain with a cap.
Making sure they're not going to miss because they're like 6 inches away from their targets.
Yeah, you know, I won't spoil it because you might want to read it someday. But
let me guess, they all survive?
They all survive, including the Prime Minister. Oh. So that is book number one from our buddy, Second Best Bob. Thank you, Bob. You're the best, Bob, as far as I'm concerned. What is your next one?
My next one is Fantastic Four 268 with this awesome photo Doom cover. This is from an era when this is the same era we got the Amazing Spider-Man that I showed a couple months ago, where we had Spider-Man on the cover. There's actually an article online where they talk about how the actual helmet was constructed. It was actually pretty interesting.
Did John Byrne do it or did someone else do it?
Someone else did it.
Okay.
I'll have to see if I can find the article that's related to the construction of it. But no, this is just a cool diversion from all of John Byrne's art. I like John Byrne's art, so that's not necessarily the problem. Every now and then it's nice to have a little variety. So this.
Can we send that to Marvel Studios so they can see that can actually be done and look menacing?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, it's a great Doom helmet. It really is. It has that skull look to it without being overly done. And just looks evil in its construction.
Left field question. Have you ever thought of cosplaying as Dr. Doom?
Dr. Doom, you know, as when he's older and overweight. I don't think Reed Richards would be very afraid of.
No one would judge you. Cosplay is not about body shaming.
It's not. I would rather go as. What was I thinking about? When something came up that I was thinking about going. Shaving my head and going as Nick Fury.
Oh.
But there was another character that I saw that I thought, oh, if I had to cosplay, I would do that.
If you ever decide to do it, let me know. I'll crash diet. Because even though it's not about body shaming, I ain't going out there without being 100%.
Exactly. I wouldn't mind if I had a nice costume, you know, doing Doom. That would be pretty good.
I got all my costumes sitting in the closet there. I can't do them anymore. You guys don't want to see me as Hercules in 2024. Trust me. In the Quasar one, I wore it for Halloween on a Halloween show, I think last year. Uh-huh. Barely fit into the belt. It was not good.
Yeah, but you know, it's, you go to the gym every day. That's not the problem.
It's what goes in. I love Pepperidge Farm Milano's. What can I say? All right. Second book. Sponsor. Yeah. Please sponsor us, Milano's. This is for you, I think. This came from Second Best Bob as well, all the way from the UK. It is Warrior number 9 featuring Miracle Man.
Oh, sweet.
There he is. Not Miracle Man, but Marvel Man, as he was and should be.
Right.
It's the magazine of jolly weird heroes. Pip, pip.
Yeah, he was jolly. He didn't turn dark until Alan Moore got his hands on him.
Nothing is jollier than when he snaps Kid Miracle Man's neck. Spoiler.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will save this for you and make sure that it gets into the right hands. But there you go. Say thank you, Second
Best Bob. Thank you, sir, Second Best Bob. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. What is your last show and tell?
My last one is a book that I always love and I buy whenever I see. She-Hulk number 1.
Newsstand. Newsstand.
Yeah. Yep. Figuring fingers. It's a pair of book yet. You got number 1. Where the series begins, and she talks about, you better read her comics, or you're going to rip up your X-Men. And issue number 60, which is the end of the run, she actually says, "Okay, this is where hand over your X-Men," and she's ready to take them out. So it's breaking the fourth wall. It's just a great, great way to bookend the series. John Byrne's art is amazing through this whole run. I thought it was just some of his best work. And, people see the She-Hulk TV show. This is the She-Hulk you should be comparing the TV show to, not Savage She-Hulk, or is it Savage She-Hulk?
Yeah.
Savage She-Hulk. Sensational She-Hulk, where she's more of a celebrity than she is a superhero. But yeah, great, great series.
There are a number
of keys in the run too.
I just want to point out Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. Overtraining your delts.
Talk to John Byrne.
She's the one that's overtraining the delts. I don't think John Byrne has. Oh, well, we're breaking the fourth wall in that book, so maybe he does.
Yeah. Well, hey, can overtrain them if she wants to, in my opinion.
If you have a proper delt training routine for Jennifer Walters, you might want to send it along to us in a segment we call Viewer Mail.
You've got mail.
My first piece of viewer mail comes from Matt, who emailed us at bronzeandmoderngods@gmail.com. John, a few months ago on the podcast, you recommended the 1980s Mark Evanier Blackhawk run. I was at a show, found most of it, then filled out the rest. I enjoyed it. It was a fun read. Keep up the good recommendations, Matt. Matt, you don't know how happy this email made me. I'm so glad you got to read it and experience it. It is so good. That Blackhawk run, but in the 80s. If you like that, the same team, Mark Evanier and Dan Spiegel, did Crossfire, which is super cheap. It's just as that.
Yeah, like almost super cheap.
Except for issue number 9 with the cover by Dave Stevens. I highly recommend you try getting Crossfire and check that out as well, and let me know what you think. Richard, last weekend, on Saturday night, I had a live sale and I had all the extra copies of my Blackhawk run for sale as a big bundle. And we had far too much fun on the live sale saying, "No one wants my big Blackhawk." missed that.
Oh, boy.
Nobody wants Blackhawk.
Oh, censors. He's saying Hawk.
I'm saying Blackhawk. What is your first piece of viewer mail?
My first piece is also from our email from Brian Barrows. Hey, John and Richard, I've been watching for a while and love your content. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much. I was wondering what you think about the state of the market. Prices have corrected in a major way, and many people who thought that they had a collection to retire on are learning quickly that that is not the case. Having said that, I was thinking that overall, this could be good for the comic world. Seems like many people jumped in as more of an investment rather than for the pure love of the art form. Do you think that that maybe the non-comic lovers will be filtered out and the hobby return more toward appreciation of actual comic books? I have nothing against comic investing as I dabble with this as well. It just seems like things got way out of kilter with the comic boom. And maybe it's time for the balance to return. Your thoughts. Yeah, we had the surge in interest and the surge in people coming into the market for two things. One, COVID came and our government decided to give every American $1,200 as a way of stimulating the economy because people weren't going out and buying, you know, going to restaurants or going to stores. So, you know, we'll inject that into the economy. So all of a sudden, everyone had a form of disposable income. And the second point was the Marvel movies were doing fantastic. They were doing record sale after record sale and promoting these different characters in the movies. So you had a combination of interest in Marvel because of that, you know, success for the movies, and then people having money, and that those two things together created this bubble where people were investing a lot of money. They're taking money and considering it an investment. And all in all, collectibles are you can call them investments, but they're probably one of the most risky types of investments. If you want to make sure you have your money at the end of, you know, 20 years, put it in a CD because that's really the best way to guarantee.
I'm biting my tongue. Every investment, with the exception of maybe I bonds, and certain kinds of treasury bonds are risky.
They're a volatile risk,
right?
Because they're controlled by factors that are hard to predict. So I say all that to say, yes, I think we've seen the correction because we've got a lot of people who are investing money because they were spurred on by having that additional funds and the success of the Marvel movies, thinking, you know, I want to pick the next successful Marvel character and, you know, speculate on that and buy in early before the prices go out stratospheric, because we were getting $15,000, $20,000, $50,000 for, you know, Ultimate Fallout for the Dejevic variant, you know, in 9.8. That was the price that people were getting. And so there was a lot of incentive for people to put money in the market. Now we're in a different world. You know, the Marvel movies for the last phase were not very successful. There were some bright spots in there, but just in general, they did not match the first three phases. And, you know, the economy, we have not had, even though the economy is strong, I think it's strong. We just don't have the disposable income that we had back in 2020. You know, government isn't giving us $1,200. So the lack of funds and the lack of interest, I think, has really caused the market to decline to the point where a lot of those people who are in it purely for speculation are looking for other investment vehicles. And we are getting too close to a point where we have the comic book fans. People are interested in, as you mentioned, the art form, and people are interested in the storytelling and the history and the nostalgia, their personal nostalgia, not trying to cash in on somebody else's nostalgia. So, you know, the prices have gone down. We have seen a correction. It's going to level off. It's not going to continue to drop. And I think we're close to a point where we're going to reach some level where everything is going to, you know, stop seeing the declines that we've been seeing. Some books are always going to decline. That's just part of the nature of the market. And some books are always going to go up. So if you're looking to, if you're looking at this as an investment still, feel bad for CGC. Well, not actually, don't feel bad for CGC. They got a $500 million investment, which I think they're going to have a hard time recouping on. Because the market just isn't where it was in 2020.
I wish I had a little tumbler of scotch and a cigarette, so I would look like a really grizzled old veteran here. Because
Lucky Strikes.
Not to be that grizzled old veteran to tell you, Brian, we've seen it before. This is nothing new, kid. Let me take you back to 1994. It's not quite the 25-year rule, but 1994, the comic book market completely crashed after a huge, huge boom of Image Comics number ones. They're going to be $1 million. Valiant is going to be the new Marvel. Invest, invest, invest. And then all the baseball card and sports card collectors came into the market when their market tanked. They did a good job of booming the market and tanking the comic book market back in the 90s. And now here we are. It's the same thing all over again. We've seen it. Even books that were considered worthless after the comic bust of the 90s. Spawn number one, anyone? Mm-hmm. X-Men number one, there are cases and cases. Pre-Unity Valiants are worthless now. Those books are worth something again. I can't imagine a world where Jim Lee's X-Men number one sells for more than a dollar.
Yeah, there's seen million copies of it.
A million copies, but here we are. Same thing now. Also, think about it. If you had bought an Amazing Fantasy 15 when the market crashed in 1994, I think you'd be really happy right now. Uh-huh. If you buy keys now, you're still going to have a tough time because the keys aren't dropping. It's your Jurjevic variants. Sorry, Richard. It's your Ultimate Fallout 4s. Sorry, Richard. It is books that were inflated for good or bad reasons that could be inflated again the minute a live-action Miles Morales movie is announced. Sit back, watch what happens. This is why Kenny Rogers said it best before he invented Kenny Rogers roasters. In a song called The Gambler. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Are you holding your Department of Truth number ones? Or are you going to fold them now? Uh-huh. If you fold them now, you're going to miss it when the TV show premieres, if it happens. If you hold it now, the TV show gets canceled and you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them. That's a long-winded way of saying we've seen it before.
Yeah, as Yogi Berra says, deja vu all over again.
We're full of quotes today. All right, my next piece of viewer mail comes to us from our buddy Warren Lincoln, who emailed us at bronzeofmodergods@gmail.com. A long time ago, probably 40 plus years, I purchased a small collection of books. It had some golden and silver age titles. One was a Superman coverless book. I don't know if it was Action or the Superman regular title. At the end of the Superman story, there was a small section the size of a 1960s Marvel corner box with an illustration. Coming in the May issue of Detective Comics, The Batman. He was pictured there. Could this possibly be called his first appearance? The book is long gone, so I have no way to research it. Back then, coverless books had little or no value. Well, I am here to help because I'm going to bring this up right now, in fact.
Oh, man. So that was Detective Comics 27, so it did predate that.
Is this the ad you're talking about? I'm sure it is. That ad is from Action Comics number 12. It's hard to say whether Action 12 carries a premium because of that ad or not, because guess what? Action Comics 12 is a very expensive book.
Right.
But yes, that some people consider that, you know, first appearance of Batman. Is that what you want to call it? It's an ad. It's like Marvel previews with your buddy Miles again, Richard. Is that his first appearance?
Right.
Comic Reader, Beta Ray Bill, you know, the cover for Thor 337 is in the issue of the Comic Reader before it comes out. I hate those things.
Yeah, but this is the first appearance of freaking Batman.
Is it? You
know, even as an ad form or whatever, it is the first ad
for the first appearance.
The pointy ears, the first time you see the mask and the cowl.
Yeah. CGC does note it on the Action Comics 12 label, not mm-hmm. as first appearance of Batman, but house ad for Detective Comics number 27. So it's notated on the label. This is different than a Incredible Hulk 180 versus 181 first appearance of Wolverine discussion. Yeah. Does an ad count? Foom 10, you know, just so many things.
Yeah, this is like, as you mentioned, this is like, a, you know, your Lamborghini has optional, you know, cigarette lighter, you know, that costs $12,000. It's still a Lamborghini that costs $200,000. The you know, that little extra isn't going to affect the price overall that much.
All right. unless you're a really heavy smoker and you need it, is, you know, maybe go buy a Bic at the gas station. What is your next piece of your mail?
My next piece is from our email as well, from Marcos Contreras. Marcos says, "Hey, John and Richard, first time a writer, long time, I mean, the reader, I mean, follower. I came back from Berkeley Comic Con. Okay. And wanted to share some cool stuff I found at the show and some of my pickups." So send us some screenshots of some of the things he found or picked up. I wish I knew specifically which ones he just took pictures of and which one he actually bought. Mm-hmm. There's a great John Carter Warlord of Mars number 11, origin of
it's Deja Thoris, right? Deja
Thoris, yeah. I couldn't think of her name for a second there. Deja Thoris, who is all over Dynamite Comics right now.
Yes. Do you want that cover?
Yeah, that's a great cover. Yeah, that is an amazing cover. For those who are listening, it's Deja Thoris, who never, poor woman, never has a complete wardrobe. You know, somebody just buy her some clothes, just buy her a gown, for goodness sake. And it just looks like she's fighting off some. Behind her is a battle going on between a number of characters. So it's a great cover. It's. You know, one of those origin story kinds of covers, just like the Doom one I've got behind me. He's also got a great 2000 AD cover one of the 2000 AD magazines. And it's got the Dark Judges on the cover, who are some of my favorite villains from that universe. This is not their first appearance, but this is a appearance of them. And I think, the cover here looks great. Keeping those are just difficult. They're just such an odd size. I don't know what you do long-term. And he sent some other ones, but the last one he sent, I was really impressed with. It's an Incredible Hulk number 2. And then on the cover is signed Stan Lee, 1979.
Wow.
So, okay, this is before, and it's written in pen, not in marker like they do nowadays, but probably in a Bic ballpoint pen, pressed into the actual cover, so it actually makes an indentation. And the book itself looks in great condition. I would love to know, Marcos, if you can let us know if this is a purchase of yours, or is this just something you saw that was cool? I'd like to know the history of this book. It's also got a nice date stamp on it too. But thank you, Marcus, so much for sending in what you found. Hopefully you had a good time at the Berkeley Comic Con. Better time than John and I have had recently at shows.
People keep telling us to go to Berkeley and we need to do it. Berkeley and Heroes Con, mm-hmm. and C2E2 are the three that everyone tells us. We did Baltimore. You guys told us Baltimore. We finally did Baltimore.
Yeah, the Baltimore was fun.
Yeah. My next and last piece of your mail for me comes from someone who has discovered our channel recently, and he or she has left tons of comments on older episodes, which is great. And I just wanted to give them a spotlight here. Anime Soul Society says, "Absolutely amazing. I love the show. And it drives me to find awesome keys, which I have managed to find. Some cool Dr. Doom in good conditions. Please never stop." Anime Soul Society, I just want to let you know we see you and we appreciate you, and we're glad that you joined and you are a part of the show. So thank you.
Thank you. And we'll never stop never stopping. Anime Soul Society is an awesome band name. It's such a great band name. Trey, go get the .com domain for that. Yes,
an emo band from like circa 2002, the Emos or the Anime Soul Society.
That is awesome. That is a great name.
Please forgive us for the early episodes in advance. All right. What is your last piece of your mail?
My last piece is from one of our subscribers, River Rambler. Richard is right, of course. Spider-Ham is a spider bitten by a radioactive pig. That pig would then raise him as his Aunt May. Thank you for giving validation for knowing such things.
I was wrong.
It's just such a weird story.
In my defense, I did some research. Tom DeFalco did retcon this in a later Spider-Ham story.
Okay.
As far as the lore goes now, he is a pig that was bitten by a radioactive spider. But Richard was 100% correct.
That's that retconning can be a pain in the ass.
Well, you're 100% correct because you were right. That's another reason. But yeah, thanks for calling me out, River Rambler. Richard, you got a segue for me?
You know, John, we were talking about our t-shirts that we got from the Sundays concert back in 1984 or was it 85?
Is 94.
This was it 94?
This is a stretch, buddy. Keep going. Okay.
Well, I still remember that concert. That makes us old farts by definition. So this next section is
our back roll.
Oh, I was already back. Yeah.
I was going long. Was it 94? Wow.
94. Sundays went around till 89 was the first record. So 90.
Great show.
1984, Old Fart Rule. We go back 40 years to the books that shaped our lives and our collections, Richard and I. And Richard, I wondered if you had this, and there it is in your hands. Hold her up. Rocketeer Special Edition number 1 from Eclipse Comics, 1984. This is a one-shot featuring the material that was originally meant for Pacific Comic Presents, but Pacific Comics went under, glug, 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 glug. So Eclipse stepped in, picked up a few of their titles, including this. You got your Dave Stevens cover. You got 20 pages of Dave Stevens art inside. And then you got a bunch of filler pinups by many other artists. That's where you want. You got Betty on the cover.
Yeah, Betty, yeah.
What's going on there? How long have you had that?
I've bought this off the newsstand. I've had this is original copy. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Dave Stevens, a big fan of this era. I mean, Rocketeer is, you know, the whole radio serial from the 40s kind of thing with, you know, the classic style of technology that's, you know, rocket fired. Just an impressive art style.
Commander Cody, which they used to show on Superhost.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that kind of science, I just find just amazing. Dave Stevens pulls the space opera kind of vibe from it and has characters that are larger than life, that with their own personal foibles. Great, great storyline, great characters, great art. This is the book that really got me fired up on Dave Stevens and the Rocketeer in general.
We are OG Dave Stevens fans, as you can tell if you've been watching this show for a while. Hi, Tinkerballs.
He's going to come through.
The 90-day average for a CGC 9.8 for this book is $168. I think this is one Dave Stevens cover that gets overlooked a lot because Betty is not front and center. She's down in the corner. So be on the lookout for that one. If you happen to find a copy cheap still, you know, there you go. Look at that angel. Oh my goodness. Richard, can you even tear yourself away to talk about your underrated book of the week?
I will try. My underrated book this week, now remember, underrated doesn't mean inexpensive. It's Underdog from 1970, Underdog number 1, from Charlton Comics.
Wait a second. This is a John book. What the hell are you doing?
I loved Underdog. You know, as a kid, Underdog came on as a cartoon, and you know, you've had very few cartoons, unlike the market is today. There were very few cartoons, and the ones that they have on had been in syndication for a million years. So Underdog would come on, and His stories were always entertaining, and it was, you know, a take on Superman with, you know, his secret identity. So Frank Johnson did the cover and the art for this book. It's a fairly rare book. There's only 57 books on the CGC census. of which the highest grades are 3 9.6s. Probably the reason why there are any high grades is because Charlton used cheap paper back in the day. And it's easy to see these books deteriorating over time because of that. But back in January of this year, 9.6 sold for $1,157. So, you know, they go for some good money if you can find a high grade. I just don't think people, a lot of people have this on the radar. Underdog is not Scooby-Doo or any, okay, Tink's now rubbing himself on the mic. it's not as mainstream as some of the other, or as popular as some of the other characters. But for those of us who are fans of that particular era, he is a hero among dogs. So I definitely would keep my eye out for this book. There are a number of Underdog books over the years, a number of number ones. Look for the Charlton comic one when you're looking at them. The other ones are later stories. So, you know, he had a history in comics. It's just this is the very first appearance.
Not bird, nor plane, nor even frog. It's just little old me, Underdog. I don't have that book.
I don't either. I want to.
Why are you telling people before we have our copies? What's wrong with
that? That's a good point. That is a very good point.
I can't believe a 9.6 exists of our Charlton book. Dear Lord. This next underrated book is a reading recommendation. It's not worth boo, but it is a great read. And it is Thriller. Thriller. From DC Comics. This was an experimental direct sales only book from 1984 with the team of Robert Lauren Fleming and artist Trevor Von Eden. It's pretty much what it says in the title. It is a thriller, nonstop action thrill ride, plenty of cliffhangers and mystery. Reviews of this in Amazing Heroes and Comics Journal and places like that were brutal. Critics blamed the story and art for being nearly incomprehensible. So as a result of those reviews, I just never bothered picking this up or reading it for years. Once I did, I had no problems understanding what was going on and following it along. In fact, I would say this is another great hidden gem of that really beautiful era of DC Comics in the mid-80s where they could just basically do very little wrong. I will say it's 12 issues. It gets canceled with issue 12. Had a hard time finding an audience. It is great, great until issue 7. Then the writer and creator, Robert Lauren Fleming, leaves. Then the book just sort of exists for another 5 issues or so, and then it gets canceled. This is not expensive at all. I got a full 12-issue run on eBay a few years ago for $10. I highly recommend it. Check it out. Read the whole thing. Tell me if you disagree with me. Post issue 7, if you like the way it wraps up. If you really want one, a CGC 9.8 sold in October of last year for $33, if we care. We don't. We want to read this. We want to find this. Check it out. Thriller. Nothing to do with Michael Jackson, thank God. It is an exciting, well-drawn. Trevor Von Eden leaves as well. The replacement is Alex Nino. Okay, that's the replacement artist. So, you know, it's going to look good. Doesn't read as well, but check it out. Tell me if I'm wrong. Thriller.
Excellent. I've never seen that series before. So I have no comment.
Well, you know what, Richard? That's a very adult thing to say. If you don't know about something.
I wish our government would use the same.
You don't necessarily have to pretend you do. That's going to wrap it up for this Monday episode. Members, we'll see you on Wednesday and Thursday. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, John. Everybody.